Man, two of our young youth ladies singing this morning for us. Appreciate that, ladies. Great job. We are in our Guarding Our Hearts and Homes month, and one of the things that we do during the month of November is we focus on the family, but sometimes I think we focus so much on the family or others that we forget to emphasize our own selves and our own individual. And the stronger we are as individuals, the stronger our families are, the stronger our church is. And so this morning, as we look, I want to preach a message, and I hope that it will find attentive ears this morning. And I pray that y'all help me preach this message this morning. I haven't cut loose in a while, but this message has the ability to bring that out of me. And we want to look at the topic this morning. It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. You know, in the Bible, there are many scenes that I wish that I was personally there for. I wish that I was there when the Red Sea was parted and the children of Israel walked through on dry ground. I wish that I was there when they said, "What be these stones?" And they were gathered up to put in the Jordan as a memorial. I wish I had had one of those artifacts, one of those stones. I wish that I was there when Samson, not inside the building but outside, toppled the temple with the Lord's might through him. I wish that I was there several thousand years later when Jesus was baptized at the Jordan of John the Baptist and heard audibly the voice of God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Not that I'm saying that you should be there and wanting to get drunk, but I wish that I was at the wedding of Cana in Galilee when ordinary water turned into extraordinary wine. I wish that I was there in the Garden of Gethsemane to see Jesus sweating great drops of blood in agony for the pain and what he would bear for me and you on Calvary's cross. I wish I was there on the Emmaus Road when they had no idea it was Jesus until he opened up their eyes and their hearts burned inside of them that it was the Lord that was speaking with them. In this pericope of scripture today, I wish that I was here for this as well. We find ourselves in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. I remind you, the words will not appear on the screen this morning as I'm not going to use the screen in the month of November so that you'll carry your physical Bible or whether it's on your phone or tablet or whether it's a physical old black leather, well, fake leather bound Bible, whatever it might be this morning, I pray that you have that in your lap. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. It's an interesting scene. Let me set it up for you. There's a party that's happening, a supper that's going on. And the person who is throwing the party, the Bible says, is a Pharisee. Now, you got to understand that the Pharisees were the religious people and those who really gave Jesus a lot of problems on earth. But these religious Pharisees with their phylacteries and their Talmud and their Torah, they would have been throwing a party that, in my opinion, would have been super boring. Think about it this way. This is a party where the religious elite are, where they're looking down upon everyone else, probably just trying to gather more information from Jesus here. Maybe he had noble thoughts and wanted Jesus to come for right reasons, but we're talking about a boring scene. It would have been men, and it would have been just a boring party. Tell me if you like this kind of party. This would have been a religious person, not a Bible thumper, because we like Bible thumpers, but this would be someone who was a legalist and someone who looks down upon everybody else for celebrating they want to celebrate, and this is who's throwing the party, this Pharisee. We're at this party, there ain't no DJ. Ain't no dancing. We got no electric slide, no cha-cha slide, and for you country people, no boot scooting boogies. I mean, none of that's going on here. We got no smiling, no fun. This is just a boring old party that nobody really wants to be at. Yet in this scene, Jesus has been invited in. But I want you to understand today that there's also someone in this story who's a party crasher, who comes in with no reason to be coming into this place, but crashes the party. And today I pray that in your heart and in your mind that you would be one who's a party crasher when it comes to getting to Jesus. And you know, individually as your spiritual life, it's your party and you can cry if you want to. And so today we look in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. Stand with me if you're able for the reading and honoring of God's word. As I invite you to stand, find your place there, commencing in verse 36. Luke 7 and verse 36. This scene is similar to those that happened in Matthew, Mark, and John, but that was Mary of Bethany, Lazarus' sister, who does this. And so it was common for Jewish women to carry these alabaster little boxes around. But this scene in Luke is entirely different than the other three Gospels. We know that because there are some differences in the story, but they're not even in the same place. One is in Bethany, which is just down south outside of Jerusalem, and one is in Nain, up north near Nazareth. And so if you got a Bible map in your physical copy, you could see the distance. These are two different stories, but very similar in how it goes on. But the one in Luke is unique because this person in this party crasher has no name. She's not given a name here, other than, would you like to be known by this? She was a sinner. And some of you walked in there this morning and you're a Pharisee. You didn't come to have any fun. You didn't come to do anything but look at everybody else and say how messed you are. But then there's some of us who came in here that know we're sinners and we came in to crash the party and worship this morning. See, if you can hear me this morning, holler back if you hear me. Somebody's got to talk to me. You got to help me preach this message this morning. Maybe you're not as big a sinner as I am, but I know that but one day Jesus Christ called my name and I crashed the party where I did not deserve to be with my sin and my past. See, if I had some crooks in here, if I had some people that have been someplace that they ought not been in their past, if I had some people in this place that lied sometimes, if I had some people in the past that they shouldn't have been in this scene, but they knew that they were desperate for Jesus. And see, Jesus loves a spiritual desperado. He loves somebody who's not worried about what anybody else around him is doing, but he's so important that they're going to crash the party to get to Jesus. I wish I had some sinners in this place this morning. See, if you see, we're probably talking to you if you don't think you're a sinner. You're probably that old dry Pharisee. We can't cha-cha now, y'all. We can't Cupid shuffle at your party. We can't. Well, you know, we don't do that. You got no joy. But see, some of us that sinners, we came in here. Well, we like to come here. And we don't want to leave because we know this is the hospital for people like us. And so we come into this place knowing full well that we're going to crash the party. And guess what? I can cry if I want to. I can cry on Jesus. I can cry out to Jesus. I can cry the glory of God. I hadn't even started preaching. Let's read the scriptures. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. The grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Father, we ask that you would bless this time, the reading of your word. And Lord, as we commence to preaching, it help me, hide me behind your cross, that I would also do what you want me to do this morning. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, amen. Here comes this party crasher. The Bible says a sinner, and when we look at the old language, it's most probable she was a prostitute. And it's interesting here to me that she passes up the host. It's almost disrespectful. She walks into someone's house and completely passes the host and goes straight to the guest. But I want to build the system of thinking here today that when it comes to worshiping Jesus, when it comes to getting to Jesus, that we ought not worry about those around us. We ought not worry about the world around us, what people think about us, what people think that we're, why is he shouting? Because you don't know what they're going through. Why is she crying? Because you don't know what she's going through. As my mother told me, keep your nose on your face. Don't worry about it. It's their party and they'll cry if they want to. But sometimes I think we're so afraid to express ourselves vocally or emotionally to Jesus because we're taught that emotion is bad and we can't have emotion. But listen, God gave us our emotions. Emotions can't get us saved, but once we're saved, you probably become emotional. And this woman in this story, she comes to Jesus and she ought not be there. She has no invitation. She ought not be there. She's a woman with all these men. She ought not be there. She's a sinner in the house of religious folk, and she shouldn't be there, but she crashes the party. But she doesn't just crash the party and show up. She does some things that I think we need to look at this morning. Number one, her weeping was her worship. You see, the woman is weeping. She's standing behind Jesus. Jesus would have been reclined in a seat with his feet out as he was eating. And she comes in and she stood at his feet behind him weeping. And her weeping was her worship. You ever just been so caught up in the presence of Jesus, but you can't help yourself to weep? Sometimes I get into a situation where I'm not a big crier, but sometimes I get into a situation in my worship with Jesus that I just can't help myself but to pause for a minute and just think upon who he really is. And just think about how he's allowed me to crash the party, that he's allowed me to become like him and to be in this situation of sanctification, that he saved me through his power, through his grace, and through his mercy, and that he allows me to crash the party and come in and be with him. When you really think about that, you think about this woman and how weeping was her worship. Now she comes in and she has this little alabaster box. But before Jesus even sees her, she's standing behind him weeping. Now you and I don't have to show tears in order to worship, but I do believe this. If you came into this place today and you say, well, my voice isn't very good. If you came into this place and you said, well, everybody else will be looking at me. Well, I don't know if I should sing out loud because this person, or if you're a Pharisee and you're looking at somebody else and say, why do they shout amen? Why do they sing so loud? Why are they so excited about this? Listen, if you come in this morning and you can't sing with all your heart the goodness of God and shout to the Lord, my question to you is, why wouldn't you come in and crash the party? You're standing around. Listen, has God been good to you? Somebody ought to testify this morning. And if God's been good to you, God's given you the ability to shout with your voice. God's given you the ability to raise your hands. God's given you the ability to stomp your feet. God's given you the ability to clap your hands. God's given you the ability to worship. This woman, all she had was her tears, but her weeping was her worship. Oh, sometimes standing from this vantage point, I look out and someone's weeping and they might not be singing the song. They may not have their hands up. They may just be wiping their brow. They may just be full of tears with a hanky in their hand. But see, they're coming and worshiping with what they brought with them. There's different ways to worship. I'm not saying that you've got to cry or be vocal or lift your hands. What I am saying, if we want individuals to get right, the first thing we have to do is get desperate for Jesus. And when you get desperate for Jesus and you finally get into his presence, you won't be able to help but have some weeping, but to have some emotion in that situation. You ever been so messed up and nobody else knows you're messed up, but inside there's something going on? You know, I don't wear one, but technically, in my diabetic state, I should wear a medical alert bracelet or necklace. And when I go into a hospital, I may not look sick. I may walk in. I may not look like anything's wrong, but that medical alert bracelet or chain would allow those who were going to care for me to recognize that I have some other condition that they need to know. Maybe they shouldn't give me this because it could spike my blood sugar, or maybe they shouldn't do this. I mean, I guess today's world, we have my chart and they're supposed to know everything about you. However, I've been around customer service enough to know these days that not everything gets put in your chart that's supposed to be in your chart. But you know, everything looks good, but inside You can't look at me and physically say he's a diabetic, but there has to be some sign that allows them to know. And when people come into church, when they come into the place, you can't look at them and automatically know something's going on inside of them. They're not wearing some medical alert bracelet. They're not wearing some kind of chain that says, this is what's going on in my spiritual life. But listen, there could be something going on. And for this woman, she just looked like a regular old prostitute, but she was coming in and her weeping showed that she was sorry for what she had been doing. She was sorry for her life. And as we continue on, you'll see this morning. I hope you'll stick with me. She was weeping. She's crying all over Jesus. And because she began to weep so much, number two, she began to wipe her tears with her hair. She started to do this. She was washing was her faith. Washing was her faith. It's my understanding and belief that this woman didn't come intending to cry. Had she known she was going to cry so much, she probably would have brought a towel. She would have brought some kind of rag to wipe the tears with. But she came in and she got into the presence in her sinful lifestyle. And when she got into the presence of the Lord and Savior, she began to cry and weep very much. And so she has to do something. And she's not worried about what anybody else thinks about it. Her faith, she didn't care about the consequences. Her faith was there. And so she took down her hair and began to wipe and dry the tears that she was crying upon Jesus with her hair. Now, if you don't understand Jewish history and culture, that may not seem like much, but remember where she's at. She's in a Pharisee's house who's following the Talmud, who's added to the law, who is not the real Bible. And the Talmud says that it was unlawful for a woman to have her hair down in front of the presence of another man. That she couldn't have her hair down, and that it was almost as bad in the Talmud, that it was indecent exposure, that it would have been just as if she had shown her breast to these other men. And if she was married, it was a reason in the Talmud that she would be able, her husband could say, well, I'm going to divorce you because you've put your hair down in the presence of other men. But this woman, knowing full well where she was at, got rid of everybody else in the room. And as she cried on Jesus, let her hair down and wiped the feet of Jesus and wiped the tears away. Because her faith was so strong. And see, it may not make sense to you when I say this, but understand this. Some of you need to come into church and just let your hair down. You just need to let your hair down and relax a little bit and not worry about what everybody else thinks about you or what everybody else might say about you. Not worry about what they say, oh no, I gotta be this or I gotta be that. No, you just need to let your hair down and worship Jesus for who he is. Because that shows our faith. See, I'm just an old sinner. The older I get, the more I get this, but I don't care about the consequences of what people think about me as long as my faith is in Jesus. See, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And so when I think upon my Jesus, I just let my hair down and I just go ahead and lift up my hands and I just go ahead and lift up my voice and I just go ahead and say, thank you, Jesus, for who you are. I can have an individual. Everybody else can be looking at me and say, I don't even know why you're here. And I can say, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to. It doesn't matter what you think about me and my worship. It doesn't matter what you think about me and my sin. It doesn't matter what you think about me and the way that I express myself to the Lord and Savior, because it's my faith and it's my hair let down and it's my washing, and you need to be worried about what you're doing with your worship, not worried about what I'm doing with my worship. See, I think even in families, we look at other people and we kind of pick and say, well, this person's not as spiritual as me, or that person's not as spiritual. And even inside of the church, well, I do this and I do that. And this woman said, I don't care. I'm not even supposed to be here. Oh, man. She said, she's not even supposed to be here. See, listen, this is a shouting moment if somebody is awake this morning. I don't know. Testing this thing on. There's somebody here today that knows they ain't supposed to be in here. There's somebody in this place knows that they should have split hell wide open because of their sin. There's somebody in here that knows they're messed up, that knows they got problems. They say, I don't even know what I'm doing inside of here. But you know what? You knew enough this morning that you said, I'm going to go into that place. And some of you just let your hair down a little bit. Some of you just took the bobby pin out and just let one side come out. And some of you have gone full-blown Don King with it. And you just let your hair out. And you said, I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care who's there. I'm going to worship, and I'm going to give God the praise. See, some of you say, I shouldn't even be in there this morning because some of you wasn't doing the right thing Saturday night. Some of you wasn't doing the right things in Sunday school. Your mind wasn't in the right place. You're on your phone playing around. You're talking to your friend, not paying attention to what the teacher had to say out of the Word of God. Some of your mind wasn't even right in Sunday. Some of your mind wasn't right in worship. We're up here singing songs. Some people are singing choir. And some of your mind wasn't even right then. Some of you are looking around and seeing what everybody else is doing. And all I'm saying is you need to come into this place and let your hair down. This is a place where you can come in and wash away the tears with faith. Because you know what? I cry because of my sin. But my sin is washed away because of my faith. This woman understood that today. I don't care what the consequences are. She could have been stoned for letting her hair down, for interrupting and coming into this party just disrespectfully, just walked in, didn't even say hi to the host. Just Pharisee, I don't got nothing to do with you. Where's Jesus at? Can you imagine someone like walking into your house and passing you up to get to your guests? And she said, I don't care because it's my party and I'll cry if I want to. You know, I think about this old story. I wish I had a couple of Bible readers in here this morning. One or two, they would get this. You remember the Old Testament story when the Ark of the Covenant has been over at Obed-Edom's house, and finally, after some turmoil and somebody had to die, they finally get the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And when the Ark of the Covenant gets back to Jerusalem, the Bible says that David, with all his might, leapt and danced before the Lord. Now, David was leaping and dancing. I don't know if David was the person that created how the brothers wear their pants, busting a sag. I don't know. But David danced so hard that the Bible says where he was girded, all of his clothes fell off. And David is exposed to all of Israel dancing. The Bible literally says this. Read your Bible. If I just had two or three Bible readers, somebody would feel me this morning. He danced so hard that he was naked. He was out there. And his wife, Michael, Saul's daughter, she didn't like that. She looked down and she said, David, you got no business acting like this. You're acting a fool out here right now. You out here naked in front of all these young girls dancing. And David said, wait a minute, I can't do anything. Don't you understand? The Ark of the Covenant is back. The presence of the Lord is back. I got to leap and dance. And David said, and you think I'm acting a fool now? Wait till I get Asaph in the choir to start singing. Y'all remember the choir song that David sang? David sang that old song. He said, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. See, you might not get First Chronicles because you probably skipped that part in your boredom and reading the Bible, but you're going to get Psalm 24, because Psalm 24 was written on the occasion of the ark coming back when David was leaping and dancing. He said it kind of like this, and they sang it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. See, David said, girl, even his wife was trying to interrupt his party. And David said, don't you know this is my party? And I'll cry if I want to. The presence of the Lord is here. I'm a dance, I'm a shake, I'm a leap. And if my clothes fall off, I'll pick them back up when it's time. But before I get done, Asaph, get over here and lead this choir in a song so we can praise, so we can worship, because my faith has found this resting place, and my tears because the ark has been gone and we haven't had it. And it's been in the hands of the Philistines. And now we finally got it back in Jerusalem where it's supposed to be. And I'm going to praise them. And I don't care who's watching. And that's where we got to get to in our worship of God. I wish I had some true worshipers in this place this morning that are ready to worship in spirit and in truth. See, if it don't get you on fire, your wood must be wet this morning, baby. Because listen, it's so important that you understand that we got to have an individual worship before we can have a family worship. Before we can have a family worship, we got to have a church worship. And before we have a church worship, we got to understand our individual lives matter how we worship God. Because what did he say? It matters because we're showing his wondrous works to all the people. Daddy, some of you don't want to get excited about church. No wonder your kids ain't excited about church. Because they're not seeing you get excited. They're not seeing you weep with tears and wipe away the tears. They don't see your faith being strong. And so they're going to look at you and they're not going to follow the path that this lady followed. They're probably going to follow your path. Now, children, even if your daddy's not excited, I want you to know it's your party. And you can cry if you want to. You ain't got to look at that example. You can look at the Heavenly Father's example and know that he's there. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors. But then I want you to see number three, wooing was her adoration. She didn't stop at tears and wiping his feet, but she began to kiss his feet humbly. The ancient custom of kissing feet of those who are reverenced was a humble adoration, a pledge of loyalty. It was ultimately to say, when you think, you thank. When you think about who this is, you thank them for who they are. Now, pardon me, because I'm going to be very unspiritual for just a moment. I'm not a foot person at all. I know people will say, Pastor, are we ever having a foot washing service? Not with me. Feet are not something I enjoy. When a baby gets to be about 3 years old, I don't want their feet on me no more. No, put some shoes on. Nobody needs to see those little jammers all up on me. Toes are disgusting. If people could walk around on their ankles, I would have preferred that. Some of you lady got them toe socks, that's weird. If you got a sock and all your toes is in it, I don't want to see that. I know it's like a thing, but like, I'm not really into open-toe shoes. I don't wear sandals myself. I try to keep my shoes, my jammers covered up wherever I go, and just not my thing. But what I think a lot of us need to start remembering in our individual worship, because remember, it's not just guarding our homes, but it's also guarding our hearts. And part of guarding our hearts is to have a humble attitude towards Christ. Because if I had any Bible readers, pride cometh before a fall. And so that means my heart is going to be let down and I'm going to allow sin in and things that ought not be there. But if I humble myself, if I'll proverbially kiss the feet of Jesus, I'm going to be protecting and guarding my heart, which will ultimately guard my home as well. But think about this. This wooing was her adoration. She's literally wooing Jesus for him to understand how much she truly loves and adores him, how loyal she is to him. Because the foot literally is the grossest part of the body. Now, I don't want to disgust you and cause your lunch to be ruined today, but the bottom of your shoes are a filthy place. Whenever you go somewhere, people have dropped things and people may have vomited and a little child may have lost their selves there. And people, not where I'm from, because if you spit when you was a little boy in front of your mama, boy, you got a backhand where I'm from, but people spit. And a floor is a nasty place. The bottom of our shoes are a dirty place. And Jesus, in walking everywhere he went, we don't truly know, but we do know this much. He either went everywhere barefoot or with some sort of open shoe that would have 80-30 Crocs style, okay? And so these aren't just any old feet. These are stinky feet. These are dirty feet. These are nasty feet. But this young lady understood that I'm going to woo the adoration. In adoration, I'm going to kiss the feet humbly because I know that even though these feet are dirty, they only became dirty to represent my sin, but that these feet are also beautiful because how beautiful are the feet of those which preach the gospel, and the feet I'm kissing, he is the gospel. When's the last time you humbled yourself enough to kiss the feet of Jesus? I struggle with that question because if Jesus came down right now, he's not going to, praise be to God. He's not going to ask me to, but if Jesus came down right now with dirty feet and said, kiss my feet to show your loyalty and humility. Lord, I told you, let me be unspiritual for a moment. Lord, could we put some Johnson's on first or Purell? Lord, I will settle for Ajax. We just need to scrub them just a little bit. Could we run them through the baptistry one or two times before I could? Jesus said, no. I didn't put no conditions on you to get saved with your dirtiness. I didn't put no conditions on you and ask you to get cleaned up. He said, no, I'll save you, then I'll clean you up. And I'll be sitting here looking at Jesus like, you do have a point. But not this woman. See, this word kiss, it's not what she did for a profession. Remember, this prostitute woman, it's not kissed as an intimate, relational thing. The way that she was kissing Jesus' feet would have been with this complete adoration of worthlessness, tears, hair everywhere. It's actually a messed up scene. Ladies, let me ask you, when's the last time you wooed Jesus so much that you allowed your makeup to get all smeared up? Allowed yourself to get all hair all messed up because you were so in worship. In such humble adoration of Jesus, you allowed yourself to not look like you wanted to look. You painted that self all up on Sunday morning. You came in here, and it'd be awesome if sometimes you walked out of here and it was all messed up because you just realized you were a sinner and how messed up it was. Fellow, when's the last time it got you in your throat? When's the last time you started to think about the Lord and you kissed his feet with your adoration and it got you in your... Where you tried to hide yourself from somebody, you didn't want them to see you crying. You tried to do that tough thing. I got something in my eye. I'm good, good. A little something in my eye. Just let your hair down and let them see the tears flow. When's the last time you humbly kissed the feet of Jesus, showing him your adoration and how much you truly love him? But then I want you to see number four, her hallowing was her sacrifice. Her hallowing was her sacrifice. She consecrated herself. She literally became a living sacrifice. Now stay with me and I'm finished. See, in verse 38, she anointed his feet with ointment. It's one of the differences between the other three scenes where Mary anoints and she anoints his head. Now, some say that this lady just missed, but I don't believe so because she went instantly to the floor if we look at the earlier verses. And she hallowed herself as a sacrifice. She said, how was that a living sacrifice? Because this box was full of expensive ointments, an expensive perfume only found in that part of the world. It wasn't the cheap stuff. It's not the stuff that you find down on Gettysburg with some dude standing out front of the gas station. Some of y'all been down there. You need to let your hair down and ask Jesus for forgiveness tonight. He was down there last night. Some of y'all couldn't laugh at that because you was guilty. When's the last time you fully understood that this was expensive stuff? This wasn't designer imposter. This was the good stuff. And this box of ointment represented her entire wealth, probably everything she owned was represented in this box. But it also represented her sinful life because the way that she made the money for that ointment was through a sinful prostitute's life. Now, because it was the good stuff, teach some of these young fellas, you don't got to use the whole bottle. And the cologne won't help you if you don't put on some deodorant first. The cycle goes bathe, dry, deodorant, just a couple of squirts or a couple of dabs. We don't have to use the whole can of Old Spice or Axe, all right? We don't have to fog anybody out. We're not trying to kill bugs. We're trying to smell good. Just a little tip from my homies, my boys, my brethren. Now, this was very expensive. And if you get a good, decent perfume or cologne, you don't have to use very much for it to fill up the whole room with the aroma. Just a few dabs. Smelling so good. You don't have to use very much to get the whole thing. But this woman said, this box represents my sinful life. And she said, I know that I could just use a few dabs here or there, but when I come to sacrifice to Jesus, I'm going to pour it all out. And so she pours it all out, but it represented her pouring out all of her sin and giving all of her praise and all of her adoration and all of her sacrifice because of what Jesus had done for her. When's the last time you poured it all out for Jesus? When's the last time? See, Christian, I think a lot of us are just putting on a few dabs. Jesus, let me put a little dab here, a little dab there. That ought to hold you over, Jesus. That ought to keep me in your favor just long enough. But remember, we don't do anything that keeps us in the favor of God or gets us in the favor of God. We do this humbly because we love God, because we want to, out of adoration. David didn't have to leap and dance and act the fool before the ark. David was just so overjoyed by what God was doing that he did. But some of us, I think, we're just, oh, look at us. We say, I'm going to go to church every once in a while, put a little dab there. I'm going to read my Bible every once in a while. I'm going to put a little dab there. I'm not going to fully tithe and give 10%, but here's 6.5, little dab right there. I'm not going to love my neighbor as myself all the time, but every once in a while I'm going to call him a donkey face hater. But most days I'm pretty good. Little dab right here. See, here's the thing. The Pharisees, they thought they were good. And a lot of us come into our lives and we think we're doing pretty good, and that's just a little dab. And Jesus says, this woman right here, she poured it all out. When's the last time you poured it all out for Jesus? Can I read these last verses, give a benediction, and go on home? Is that okay this morning? Y'all are so quiet. I don't know. Y'all are so nervous today. I feel like maybe there was some people down on Gettysburg or Philadelphia last night. I feel like maybe I'll go a little longer. Maybe there's some people need repentance this morning. Praise be to God. Let's look here in verse 39. Now, this scene has played out. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it. Remember, he's boring. He didn't do anything to set up a good party. We don't got nothing going on here. This is a boring party. He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat unto thee to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. See, it's the same name as in the other three gospels as well, but that person was known as Simon the leper. This is just Simon. And he gives this parable. He says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Now I want you to get this today. She wasn't forgiven for what she did. Watch what Jesus says. And they sat at meat with him. They that sat at meat with him began to say inside within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Hear me this morning. If you want to go in peace, find yourself a spiritual party where you can cry if you want to. Not worried about the Pharisee, not worried about who's looking around, who's looking at you, what somebody else thinks about you, how somebody else is worried about what you're doing. Because see, this woman got into this place of desperation. And the reason why, when Jesus gives that parable, because she was a big sinner. Some of us in here understand that we are big sinners. See, I understand that I'm a big sinner. Some things Jesus ought not have forgave me of, he did. Some things I've done in my past that I'm too proud and too ashamed to even tell anybody about, but they're back there, and Jesus saved me from that too. And some of you are so righteous this morning, some of you are so in your pharisaical state that you want to invite Jesus in on your terms. You want to have Jesus in, but you don't really want to worship there. You don't really want to have any fun there. And then you're mad at everybody else who wants to have a party and cry at your party. Then you'll be mad. See, because the Pharisee is the same one. He says, if this man was a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman it is. And Jesus says, well, I'm talking to you. What kind of manner of man are you? You haven't washed my feet. You haven't cried any tears. You haven't done anything. You're just sitting here wanting me to come over because it's your party. But this woman came in party crashing, and she said, listen, I love you, Lord. My adoration for you, my faith for you. I'm going to cry tears. I'm going to pour it all out, a living sacrifice. When is the last time you understood your condition and how sinful you are, how sinful you've been, and poured it all out for Jesus? I think when we get saved, we kind of become Pharisees in our own mind. We say, Jesus has paid it all and all my sins have gone away. And yes, he has. But then I think we become unthankful because we forget about. Say, oh yeah, my sins are forgiven. But Jesus said, yeah, who do you think is going to be more thankful? Who do you think is going to be more excited that their sins are forgiven? Big sinners or little sinners? Some of y'all in here today, myself included, are big sinners. We have lots of problems. And even after we've been saved, those sins still happened, didn't they? And Jesus forgave them. How much more thankful should we be for that? This morning, I want you to understand and recognize, don't you allow anybody to get into the way of your worship. Your worship is just that, your worship. It's personal. You want to shout, shout. You want to say hallelujah, say hallelujah. You want to raise your hands to the Lord. See, I see some people, they haven't got desperate enough. Some people, we sing in the songs and they just get to about right here. They shout to the Lord because they don't want anybody around them to look. And it's sad that they got to think like that. It's sad that they got to worry about that because they're worried that somebody cares. But listen, Jesus set you free from having to worry about that. You want to sing the song? Sing it out loud with your hands up high. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and say amen. Go ahead and say hallelujah. Go ahead and say thank you, God. Go ahead and say I can't do it without you, God. Go ahead and say I'm a big sinner, but you set me free from all my sin. Go ahead and cry if you want to. Go ahead and make Cover Girl look like it needs to be covered up again, girl. Go ahead and cry out. If you're a man and you want to get cried out and you don't care about what anybody else says, see, a real man can cry for Jesus because he knows how sinful he's been and what Jesus has done. Jesus wept, but then you and I want to act like we can't weep for who Jesus is. All I'm saying to you today is it's your party and you can cry if you want to. It's an individual state of worship and you get yourself into it today. We're going to give an opportunity, a time, a moment for this altar. Now listen, hear me. I'm not asking you to make some prideful admission I'm not asking you to do something that's out of your character in this sense, but I am saying to you, we ought to get out of our comfort zone from time to time when it comes to Jesus. Do you think Jesus was in his comfort zone hanging on a cross, the one who created the entire world, who was sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in all this truth and power? Do you think he was in his comfort zone being born in a manger, sitting out here with these old stinky animals and have to be around here? Do you think Jesus was in his comfort zone having to be raised by earthly parents who he's better than, who he gave life to? Do you think Jesus was in his comfort zone having to go around where people are mocking and railing him, but Jesus stayed focused on the mission and he said, listen, a comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing will ever grow there. And I'm going to keep on marching toward the Via Dolorosa down this way so I can get to the cross, so I can take on the sins of all sinful man, big sinners, little sin, big sin, everybody from all time. And Jesus did not do that so that you would sit back and get comfortably cool and say, you know what, I'm a Christian. Yep, I'm a Christian. Jesus did that so that you would come to him with adoration, that you would come to him with tears, that you would come to him with a washing away of sin by his power, by his blood, that you would come to him wooing him, kissing the feet of Jesus in adoration, that you would come to him anointing his feet with oil, consecrating yourself from the world. He did all these things for our sake, and therefore we can leap and dance. Now keep your clothes on, but I just want you to understand that you can get excited about Jesus. Nobody's excited about Jesus. I'm just concerned. Loving Jesus is pretty exciting. You know the coolest thing I've ever watched in my life? It's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was thinking about it, the lady that was here last Sunday night from Isaiah's place, and I was thinking about watching years past. One of the things that was hard about working at a county jail is the county jail, outside of it, becomes a, where the sheriff's deputies' vehicles are, it becomes a safe place for those families who have been divorced or have a child together but are no longer together. It becomes a place where they can drop off their children to each other safely. It becomes a meeting place. And by nature of the job, when someone pulls into the parking lot that you don't know, you on camera or paying attention to who it is and what's going on. And eventually that happens long enough in a small town, you begin to know those families and you see daddy had a weekend visit and it might be Sunday and he's dropping back off the child to the mother or vice versa. It could be any day of the week. And one of the saddest things is when the child is leaving one parent. And even though they love the other parent, there's two things going on there. I got to leave one to go with the other, but I know that next week we got to do the same thing all over again. And it's sad. And it's sad to watch. But then every once in a while, you'll find those occasions where a family is set up where if the father or the mother lives out of town or out of state, that they may not get to go there until summertime. And I remember one little girl whose parents were divorced and the father lived in the South and her mother lived there in Wilmington. And the little girl only got to see her father on select holidays. And when school was out, she would go to live with her father for those 3 months. And I can remember at the end of the school year, the little girl maybe hadn't seen her father for 6 or 7 months. And this is before the time really of FaceTime and these things in the early 2000s. And so maybe she had just heard his voice. And I can remember seeing that little girl jump out of her mother's car. And she was probably 6 or 7 years old and run to her dad and him pick her up in his arms and hold her. And I can remember him crying great tears and her crying great tears. And he's this big old Southern country boy and he's just crying with all of it. And I just asked today, I wonder when's the last time you were so overjoyed at the presence of Jesus. He didn't care that there was a whole bunch of officers around. He didn't care what the mother was thinking. He didn't care about what anybody else could think about. All he cared about was the joy of squeezing his little girl. And he didn't care who was around. You know what he said? He said, it's my party. and I'll cry if I want to. I wonder when's the last time you've been so in love with Jesus, so in joy with Jesus, that you don't care about what anybody else thinks.